In them to the gospel, or the gospel, the book of Ephesians chapter 5 is where we were at, and that's where we will spend some time this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, we will continue a little bit in the venue of our One Another series. There are actually quite a few One Another's here in this particular passage that we're going to look at, the broader passage. Kind of, we'll see those, but we are going to focus on a phrasing that is in the text, but not on one another phrasing, because I think it ties it all together. The phrase we're going to focus on is found in the latter part there of that verse, or of the section we read, but it's the phrase redeem. The time, redeem the time. Now, I'm going to read again, and I'm going to start a little further back in this context, and it's ask you to look with me at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and then we'll read down through where we read earlier, verse 21. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must not be, no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consist in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. You will notice there that in our text, as we started there in verse 32 of chapter 4, that Paul does something that is, well, quite remarkable, actually, in that he bookends this whole section with several one another's. There's actually five one another's that are mentioned either at the start of this section or at the end of the section. The first you see, the first three there in verse 32, be kind to one another, be tenderhearted to one another, be forgiving to one another. That's the idea of that verse. Now, we're going to deal with that a little later in this series. That's a a whole section of its own, but that is the bookend, that is that marks. And then if you go to the end of this section, there in verse 19, you say, see, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and so forth. And it also says that we, in verse 21, should be subject to one another. So this whole passage has bookends of one another's on it, front and back end of it. It's interesting that as the new year approaches, my attention usually draws to time. How many of you look at 2020 and are glad to see it go? I actually heard a pastor one time at our pastor's fellowship. He said, I don't usually stay up and usher in the new year, but I'm going to this year just to make sure 2020 leaves. That is a tongue-in-cheek. We recognize that problems don't dissolve just because we flip a calendar. And so some of the things that we have faced in 2020 will still be there in 2021. People are still sinful. There are still things going on politically. There's still upheaval politically, and there will be probably for the rest of our lives. There is still something called a virus that is going on, still probably will. The changing of the calendar does not change that. But I must admit that this is an important time of our lives. At the end of each year, as we come to closing of a year, it's a great time to make an evaluation. What's gone on the year before? How are we walking with the Lord? What is going on? What do we hope to accomplish different in a new year? There's a value to that. And I must admit that in my thinking, almost every year at this time of year, my mind goes to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There's a time for everything under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die and a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted and so forth. Once again, my mind went there, and I thought, there is this section with these one another's that has a phrase that mentions time. Time becomes essential in this passage. It is that we should redeem the time. Therefore, verse 15 of chapter 5, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the New American Standard says, making the most of your time. That's a really good translation, actually. Making the most of your time. I think King James says, redeem the time. Redeem the time. So time becomes, at this point in our lives, how many of you thought the year went really fast? It did seem to go fast, and the older I get, the faster they seem to go. They seem to fly by. And so time is what seems to pull me in at this juncture in the year. There's a lot of quotes about time. Tolstoy said this: the two most powerful warriors are patience and time. Patience and time. Ben Franklin appealed to the businessmen and said, time is money. The Greek philosopher Theophrastus said this: time is the most valuable thing a man can spend. We get so much of it. We all have a limited amount of it. We all get the same amount of it. And we need to use it wisely. That was his thought. Here's one. I could not find the earliest they can find this quote being used was back in the 1200s. It's been around a while. Time waits for no one. Time waits for no one. Stephen Covey said this, the key is not spending time, but is in investing it. And that really goes along with idea of what Paul says here in redeem the time. Redeem the time. I want you to think about this. To redeem, if you wanted a definition of the word to redeem, there that King James word, redeem the time, it is to gain or to regain possession of something in exchange for payment. It's a business transaction, if you will. That's the idea of it. We often talk about spiritually, it means to be bought back. Christ bought us back. When we talk about salvation, we are redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb was what paid the price to buy us back. You've probably heard that cute little analogy about a boy who made a toy boat. He put it in the canal. It went out. It got away from him. It went out to sea, and it was so cute that a sailor, when he found it in the fishing net, sold it to a local shop. The little boy went back in, saw his very boat, and the shop owner sold it to him, and the little boy was heard going out, "You are now twice mine. I made you, and I bought you back." That is the analogy of Christ. He made us. He is the creator. He was involved in the creation, and he went to the cross, paid sin's price, paid the penalty of our sins. He bought us back. That's what the word redeemed. But when Paul says here to be redeemed, to make verse 16 redeem the time, we have to understand he is not talking about chronological time. Wouldn't it be wonderful? How many of you have ever thought, I would like to buy a minute of time, a certain point in history, back? You ever thought about, I would love to spend 5 more minutes with this individual or with that individual? What would you pay to go back in time? To have a few minutes with an individual? Paul isn't talking about that. When he says redeem the time, he is not speaking about chronological time, but he is addressing this issue of that we need to make the most of what time we have, of the moment we are in. Redeem the time, buy up the time. Someone once said this, he really is saying, make the most of the opportunity. He's talking about making the most of every opportunity we have. Now, some of you have heard that Latin term, carpe diem, meaning seize the day. And that was first penned by Horace. His understanding of that was that you would enjoy life while you could. Now that can have some very sinful connotations to it, folks. Carpe diem, seize the day, live it up. Eat well, drink well, party well. You could take it down that road, but I really think that is the general idea that Paul is trying to get across here for us as believers, is to seize the opportunity of every moment of our lives to be pleasing to the Lord, to bring glory and honor to the Lord. What a wonderful thing that would be. If all of us would catch that vision of making the most of every opportunity to live for Him. Paul really here is speaking, I believe, of time management, how we manage our walk. Using time wisely, however, requires determining what we are to spend time on and what we are not to spend time on. Have you noticed that Well, I will tell you, if I get going on a project at my house, I'm going to get this project done today. That's the goal for today. I get distracted because there are so many projects at my house. So many things. I think, well, on my way, I will take and put that away. And I put that away and I get to there and there's something else that needs to go back this way. And I'll get that put away. And pretty soon I didn't get to the project that I was focused on for the day. And I didn't really feel like I got that much accomplished. I was bouncing around doing all kinds of different things. To stay focused and to zero in means that there are certain things that we have to recognize we simply do not have the time for them. Think about that for a little bit. This might get really personal. It might step on some toes. The idea is that we as believers need to prioritize our lives. Time needs to become important to us, what we spend our time on. I'll take you back up and we'll kind of work down through this. Just a reminder, be kind to one another, tenderhearted to one another, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven us. I said we would mention this later in the series, and we will. We'll get to it later. But I will simply say this, it is always time, we should always recognize that it is time to be forgiving, to be tenderhearted, to be kind to one another. It is always time for that. We kind of forget that, right? Because we think, well, it's time to rant and rave. It's time to be angry about something. The idea is it's always time for us to have those three characteristics, and we'll come back to that. I want you to consider how you spend time. This chapter begins with that phrase, be imitators of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. The therefore points back to that 32nd verse, and it also ties in with what follows. The idea here is God is so loving and so forgiving and so tender-hearted towards us, we need to imitate that. We need to practice that. That is always something that needs to be given, we need to give time to. But I want to start by really focusing in on verse 2 because Paul does something very interesting here. There are, as you walk down through here, some interesting contrasts. And it's almost as if the Apostle Paul says, you don't have time for this, but you do have time for this. You should not waste your time doing this thing over here, but you need to make a point of doing this over here. They're contrasting things. You will notice in verse 32 that it talks about this love, being kind to one another, tender to one another, forgiving one another. Then you walk down to go down to verse 2, and it says, walk in love. Now, we've been hitting love one another. That's been in the series over and over again, but Paul says to the Ephesian believers, walk in love, and the example of that is communicated later, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. So that sacrificial part of loving one another needs to be a part of our everyday life because that is how Christ loved us. Walk in love. And then it says, as if Paul goes on to say, in contrast, the world has this idea that immorality, living a sexually immoral life, is love. That's how they define it. But he says, you don't have time for that. You don't really have time for that. Walk in love, verse 2, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not be named among you, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks. Immorality, impurity, greed, filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting. That idea of coarse jesting is dirty jokes. You don't have time for that. You know, this hit me in a different way. I really think that when temptation hits, and Jim's been doing a good job of explaining, temptation is not sin, but temptation hits us all. Out of the lust of our own heart, the world bombards us with temptation. If you've been coming to our adult Sunday school class, Jim's been hitting that. But the reality is, temptation is the starting point, and if we give in to that temptation, then it's a downward spiral from there. The Apostle Paul says to these believers, make the most, seize the opportunities that are before you, make the most of your time, and it hit me. When temptation hits us, from whatever direction it comes, the answer that we need to immediately be speaking, not only head knowledge, maybe even out loud, but definitely in our hearts, is, I don't have time for you. I do not have time for you. I cannot waste time on immorality, on impurity, on greed, on filthiness, on silly talking, and on coarse jesting, dirty jokes. I don't have the time for that. They are a waste of time for the believer. They are characteristic of an unbeliever. Paul brings that out in the text. But immorality, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. That shouldn't be a part of our lives. Instead, according to the end of verse 4, those silly talking, the coarse jesting, we don't have time for those. They should be replaced with thankfulness and gratitude. But rather, giving thanks. That you should make time for. That I should make time for. I want you to stop just a moment and think. I know Thanksgiving is past, but the reality is we're supposed to be thankful all the time. I want you to think of one thing to be thankful for at this very moment. Just stop and thank God for something. That we have to practice that. It is always time to be thankful. As we continue to consider how we spend our time, Paul seems to reach further down and he says, do not waste your time listening to empty words. Look at verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. I'm reminded here of what Paul told Timothy as he was speaking. Paul was ministering in Ephesus at the time he received this letter from Paul, 1 Timothy. Paul tells Timothy, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. Now, older women, I don't call you old. I will call you older women. This is not Paul slamming older women. The idea here is that when you get grandma stage, you like to tell stories. And you might tell stories, fanciful stories, to your grandchildren to entertain them. There is a value there. But that's where the value stops. They are not to be, Timothy, a part of the doctrine of the church, this fanciful, mystical, theological worldliness is not supposed to consume our time. Now, I told you, it might get personal. Let me just say this. If you know more about Star Wars than you know about the Word of God, there is a problem. There's a huge problem. If Christmas is all about Frosty the Snowman and Santa Claus and all of that world's view of Christmas, if that's what it's, I think what Paul is telling us is you better be careful. You might be wasting some valuable time. You can go, I mean, how many of you have a favorite show? We could pick on anybody. I was watching one of my favorite shows last night. The girls got me the complete series for Christmas, The Rockford Files. I'm telling you what, I used to love those car chases, but they seem to go on forever now. They just seem to go on forever. Can we become too locked into things that don't matter? We can waste our time on stuff that really doesn't matter in the light of eternity. Yes. We can do that. And Paul says, don't waste time listening to empty words. Do you know sometimes empty words are theological words? People just want to parse hairs over theology. In seminary, the one question might be asked at your ordination council that they always tried to prepare you for was, how many angels fit on the head of a pin? That's silly, empty words. That's silliness. And there's a lot of theological silliness out there. That we spend time on things that are not really all that important. But Paul says, in contrast to that, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Oh, I want to pick up on that. What does it mean to walk as children of light? Well, it involves several things. One of the things is that it involves right conduct. Look down through there. Therefore, don't be partakers with them. That's pointing back to those that speak empty words. Verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. If you are a child of the Lord, you are a child of light. Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. And we are to walk in such a way. We are to have right conduct. Verse 9 points that out. Goodness and righteousness and truth. And verse 10 says we are striving, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Some translations say, put it a little heavier than that, striving, working with all your might to figure out what is pleasing to the Lord. You don't have time for silly talk. You don't have time for that, but you do have time for the light, to be light, to live out the light, walking as children of light also involves knowing God's word. How can we live the way God wants us to live if we don't know God's word? I'll remind you what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I will remind you that that the Lord Jesus told his disciples that they are to be salt and light. Salt and light in the world. In other words, you are to know the truth and you are to live the truth. We have to make time for that in our walk. Walking as children of light involves knowing God's word. But I want you to think about this. This struck me. You may not always have time to be in the word. We do have to go to work. We do have to do certain things. We do have to go get groceries. I don't assume that you walk around the grocery market now with your mask on and your Bible open and your glasses are steaming up. You probably need to look where you're going so you don't run over people. And we may not always be able to be in the Word of God, but it is always time for us to live the Word of God. And that requires us to spend some deep time in the Word of God itself. We are to walk as children of light, and it involves, it has this, the meaning is so deep, we are not to spend time on the deeds of darkness. We don't have time for sin. We don't have time for sin. Do not participate, verse 11 says, in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. They benefit you nothing. They benefit me nothing. They detract from the value. I want to walk down through the rest of a few of these contrasts fairly quickly. We are to have time. It is time to be wise. It is time to be wise. Therefore, verse 15, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. You don't have time to be unwise. You have time. If we're going to seize the opportunity, if we're going to make the most of the moment we're living in, if we're going to be used of God in the most powerful way, we have to focus on being wise, not unwise, not living a foolish life. We have no time for foolishness. This doesn't mean we can't have a good time, we can't enjoy one another, we can't tease one another. It's that we are focused on the will of God for our lives. You see that? Making the most of your time, therefore be careful, verse 15, how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That would be an interesting study. I actually thought I might take off on that for a little bit here, and decided against it in deference to time. But there are many things that the Bible says specifically, this is the will of God for you. That would be a great study. If you want to know, you can Google, you can look, you can study your Bible. I would encourage you to do that. It is time that we know what the will of God is for us. Living a holy, sanctified, separated life is one of them. This is the will of God for you. And we would do well to spend our time focused on that, living that out. Well, there's others that are mentioned here. Contrast, don't be drunk. You have no time for that. In other words, don't be under the control of alcohol. You and I have no time for that. But we do have time to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If we are believers, we have the Holy Spirit of God who has taken up residence within us. Paul makes that very clear in his epistle to the Corinthians. That's where he takes up residence. But the Word of God indicates we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can thwart the Holy Spirit of God. And we shouldn't do that. We should allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill our lives, to control us. We have time for that. It's time for that. If we want to make the most of the opportunity, it is time for that. It is time to lift one another up in praise. Do you see that as he closes that this section out? Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Are people uplifted? Are they pointed to Christ? Are they pointed to God? Are they pointed to a relationship with God by how you live? That's what we need to spend our time on. People need to see Christ in us. We fall short of that. We often fall short of that. But if we get in our minds that we don't have time not to do that, we don't have time to be a bunch of grumblers, Paul gets away from the contrast here, but I think you can see that's the idea here. Paul says, it is time to be thankful in everything, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Do you give thanks for everything? Let me just hit it this way. Have you thanked the Lord for COVID? Have you thanked the Lord for the struggles that you go through, the difficulties in your life, the conflicts that you might have gone through with family or friends? They all have a reason. They all have a purpose. The event may not be good. It may be tragic. It may be terrible. It may be horrible. But what God intends to do through that, we need to be thankful for. It is time to submit to one another. In other words, to defer, to give preference to one another, to place ourselves under one another. Jesus put it this way, to think of others better than ourselves, to think of others before we think of ourselves. And he is the prime example of that, isn't it? Isn't he? To redeem the time. We don't have time for immorality. It's time for biblical love. We do not have time for empty talk. It is time that we know and live the Word of God. We do not have time to be foolish. We need to be wise. We do not have time to participate in the deeds of darkness. We have time. It is time to walk as children of light. We do not have time to be foolish. It's time to be wise. We do not have time to participate in the darkness, but to be children of light. It is time to praise God. It is time to be thankful. It is not time to grumble or to complain or to whine. It is time to put others before ourselves. You remember that song sung by Jim Corsi? I think that's how you say his last name. Time in a Bottle. How? Croce. If I could save time in a bottle, that's an impossibility, isn't it? The first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away. Eternity doesn't pass away. Just to spend it with you. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. We are, if we are believers, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to spend eternity with the Lord. But I want you to think about people. How would you like to be locked away in a bottle with someone forever? Even somebody you love. Never a break. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. Then the chorus. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things we want to do once we find them. I've looked around enough to know that you're the only one I want to go through time with. Well, folks, that chorus, the portion of that chorus, but there never seems to be enough time, there isn't. We have to choose. We have to choose certain things not to be a part of our life, and we have to choose certain things to be a part of our life. Paul gives us those contrasts. You don't have time for this. You must make time for this. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we consider making the most of every day for your glory, I pray that you would challenge each one of us. There are undoubtedly different things in the hearts and lives of different people that consume our time, some of which may be fine, there may be no problem, but the reality is there are so many things that you want us to focus our time and to use the time that you have given to us. We do not know how much time we have. So, Lord, help us to use every moment. Help us to be aware of Paul's instruction to redeem the time, to use every opportunity. Help us to seize the moments, to witness and to live out Christ and to live out the Word of God. We ask in your precious name. Amen.